Welcome to Bad Play Style, a book club style video game podcast where we talk about a new game that we all played every episode. Hopefully you listeners at home have played the same game we did.
So you can avoid the horror of being mugged by the infinite spoiler.
Yeah, we are going to spoil any game we set out to play, and probably other games too, so be careful and check the fucking show notes so you don't get blindsided by the fact that, I don't know, Paul Rudd is Darth Revan.
Into it. Bad Play Style, Matt.
Keenan.
I'm Owen.
Fuck, man, you ruined the thing.
Yeah. I'm a ruiner.
Yeah. That game just came out.
Yeah. Oh. It seems kind of cool, but it's another
Miami. The game is, you wear a motorcycle helmet and you have letters on your face.
No, you wear, it's not a motorcycle helmet. It's a Daft Punk helmet.
Yeah.
Says things to people.
He does ride a motorcycle, though, so I can understand how you'd be confused.
I feel like I've seen motorcycle helmets you can buy that have LEDs and the...
Sure, but it's definitely, it says kill you, kill you, kill you, kill you, kill
you.
Yeah,
yeah, right? It does a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I fucked your mom. Stuff like that.
John Tweedy shit.
So welcome to the show. This is Bad Play Style. We played Dungeon of the Endless. It was a good time for everybody.
Yes, indeed.
Welcome to the show. This is the part of the show where we talk about, what makes us angry, and we talk about what we've been playing. Does anyone have any angers to share?
Wait, those come together?
Yeah. Does anyone have any angers to share towards, other people who live inside this podcast, or towards themselves?
Damn, the airing of grievances.
Yeah, this is the airing of grievances.
I guess the only grievance I have is I realized that if Nintendo made a Nintendo Switch that was gray with purple and lavender buttons, I would buy it instantly, and it doesn't exist.
And that they haven't done it.
They haven't done it. Like if they made the SNES color scheme Switch, like, and I know this is, like, my nostalgia being exploited.
Yeah.
But, like I'm also powerless to stop it.
Yeah, you messaged me about that. You were like, dude, I would legit do this. And I was like, yeah, I can see that.
I've had that experience with people that I'm sexually attracted to.
Yeah.
She being like, oh, I don't want to, but there's nothing I could do.
Yeah.
Nope, right? I'm wired for that.
Yeah. Yeah, Nintendo will always make bad decisions, though, so that won't ever happen.
Hey, they just finally put share swapping in a year later.
Oh, jeez.
They're learning a year later.
That people
like to move their
safe. I heard, young
child, this Band-Aid will cure your ailment.
There's some fucked up thing about it, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, no, like, duh.
Does it taste bad or something?
No, it's show like title.
It's not that, like, you can just drag and drop, like, one game's
save. Oh,
no,
of course it's not,
Switch.
Like,
you are removing all of the saves
on the
Switch.
Entire profile has to move.
And dropping a whole...
I guess that makes sense, though, like, if you have siblings sharing a Switch and then you buy another one. Like it makes sense in the, like, logic of sharing the system. Like, if
no,
I mean,
stop with your Nintendo and its fucking
asshole.
I'm not
apologizing
for
them.
You are being a Nintendo's horseshit apologist, okay? Nintendo has always done this shit. Mm. They've always done this shit where they're like, oh, you wanted a thing? And they're like a fucking genie. They'll give it to you. Yeah. They'll give it to you in, like, the most ass way possible. And be like, that's what you wanted,
that's what
right?
you wanted.
And just, like, stare at you with fucking troll face. Like, troll face is still cool. And you're like, fuck you, Nintendo. And they're like, no, you love us. You'll buy
Shut up! Turn your phone on to talk to your friends!
Yeah, exactly. Like, just call them on the phone.
While
you're playing Monster Hunter.
I was in a really great thread last week on Reddit.
We'll just color your phone like a Nest and you'll buy it.
I was in this thread and we were...
A new Nintendo phone.
We were speculating in the thread, what would it look like if Nintendo started adding loot boxes to their games? Because, like, okay, you've added loot boxes to the game. Now, what fucked up thing has Nintendo done to it to make it a huge pain in the ass?
Oh, okay, I get it. Like,
but it's also simultaneously going to be the perfect nostalgia grab.
Yeah, no, they're going to be like beautiful loot boxes. Yeah. Like, they're going to be the most...
amiibos of loot boxes.
They're going to be the Zelda 1 chest full 3D.
So, that was one of them, was that the loot boxes, you actually have to physically buy an amiibo of a box and tap it to your...
hundreds of these in your home.
No, I'm just imagining a situation where, like, a garbage man is like, why is this garbage so heavy all of a sudden? And he opens it up, it's just filled top to bottom with, like, fake plastic wooden chests with little, like, USBs on the bottom.
But my contribution was that you would have to use motion controls to put in the key and turn it.
Oh, yeah! That's so good.
Yeah.
Jesus, Nintendo is stupid.
It's a fucking puzzle box.
Or you have to type in your full credit card on the touchpad every time.
Every time. So
because it won't save your information for security purposes.
And we never hook up with PayPal. That would make too much sense.
I understand that, like, focus testing your game makes it into, like, the food they eat in the Matrix of video games, right? Like, but can Nintendo do, like, one focus test every 10 years, and you have to, like, compete to get in it? Right? Like,
Nerf PUBG to get into the Nintendo.
Like they just buy the city of Houston for a weekend.
Fucking Nintendo.
That's a very... Yeah, okay. Well,
I mean,
whatever.
I wouldn't mind if they took over Redmond.
Look, I understand that you really like Shadowrun, but it's just not going to happen.
No, I just...
Okay, the timeline, we're already way off.
We just talked about how bad Nintendo is, and they can't be worse than Redmond's current masters, so it's fine.
Okay. Keenan, what video games have you been playing?
So, I've been trying to find, like, a good mellow game lately, because, like, life's doing stuff at me. So,
in the words of Baby Cakes, are you ready when life attacks?
Usually.
Yeah.
Sometimes reluctantly so. So I've been playing a little Cities Skylines. It's been sitting in my Steam library for a while, and I was like, I could build a stupid city.
So let me get this straight. Keenan's been playing League of Legends,
uh-huh.
PUBG,
uh-huh.
a management game, and a Hotline Miami-like. Is this correct? Is this accurate?
What Hotline Miami-like was
I don't know, I'm just saying, those are the four games you play.
No, actually, I was playing a lot of, this week's game, Dungeon of the Endless.
Dungeon de Endless.
Which is mellow, but I was playing it on the harder difficulty, so it was less mellow.
Okay.
League. I haven't played a lot of stuff. Warframe.
Yeah.
But I'll let you talk about that.
You done?
Yeah.
All right, Owen.
That's it.
Go ahead.
I've been playing Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it's a good game. I'm not at all mad about the fact that my roommate got an SNES Classic and I didn't.
he said you can play it on...
I know, but it's in his room hooked up to his computer.
All right, you can unhook it. I mean, like...
Whatever, fuck it, I don't need it. Because I have an Android tablet and I put an emulator on it and went on a trip. And
you need that boss-ass setup.
Yeah.
There was the hard times, the, like, onion for video games. And it was like, why buy a Super Nintendo Classic when you can build a cherry pie with every ROM on it ever and never shut the fuck up about it? It's like,
right.
Everybody, we all know that person.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not saying that's you, but it's how you remind
me. I specifically stayed away from microcontrollers, so I'm not that person.
I have an 8-bit dough, like, it's a facsimile of the SNES controller. It's Bluetooth, and it feels phenomenal. Like, it is exactly that controller.
It's as close as they could get it.
And so, like, I was on the plane, and I, like, my tablet has, like, a flap on it, like a cover. And so I tucked that into the safety card slot in the back of the seat in front of me. So it's, like, mounted like a television in front of me.
Right, just like the really fancy airways, like, or put the
put a
there.
TV in the seat, It was, like, right in that spot. And then I just played my RPG for my flight.
I like that placement, because then you're not craning your neck.
Yeah, I had it on the tray at first, and that kind of sucked.
I always get airplane neck, whether I'm, like, reading or watching something or whatever, you're, like, constantly...
Airplane neck sounds like a good album.
Yeah.
For, like, a white rapper. Like a white SoundCloud rapper.
Or like, some, like, 60s psychedelic, like...
Ooh, No, airplane neck during the jet age? digging it. I'm all in on that. All right,
Lavender Rabbits, Airplane Neck is up next.
Have you played anything else?
Oh, that's about it. Like, I've been playing PUBG and Dungeons
Things that don't bear repeating.
Yeah. Well, I think PUBG bears some mention.
No,
today.
Yeah. Okay.
You got a lot of stuff to talk about it, buddy.
Yeah. So Dungeon of the Endless, we simmered on that for a period of time that was...
Like a year?
No, I'm saying, like, since the last time we recorded this podcast.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh God. Sorry.
Was that not recent history?
Was that yeah, that was history? That was some other shit. Activities. Anyway, so things have been happening to me. It was I think the week after we recorded, I was away from my normal desktop. I was with my laptop, and Owen says to me point blank, "If I buy you PUBG, will you play it with me?" And so I say, "Yeah, sure, I'd do that." And my birthday is coming up, so Owen uses this as a casus belli to
Dance Vault.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay. So
that's got a different meaning these days.
Yeah, these days that's not yelling about the Pope. That's something else.
Because those people are idiots.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So he bought me PUBG, which. I'm not going to use the word obligated, but I played PUBG, and if you recall my original, let's say, diatribe on this podcast about my confusion as to at what point resource fun is extracted from game PUBG, I'm still somewhat mystified as to when that happens, less mystified than I was before. Like, there were some fun moments, but they were less the game and more just the fact that I'm in an environment that is capable of generating fucky results with my friends.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I think that is the game.
Okay.
that's the thing I come back for.
This is my PUBG as a roguelike argument.
Right.
Is that PUBG actually, like, it thinks it's a competitive shooter, but what it actually is a roguelike where the enemies you fight just happen to be controlled by real people.
Things are broken and the points don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you win chicken dinner sometimes, like, that's
it's
cool.
It's got the right amount of video game dumb still attached to it. Yep. Like,
so anyway, that was fun, but then something very unfortunate happened from, I guess, Owen's perspective, was that the largest update in Warframe's history came out. Well, I mean, it just meant that I did not
have
do anything else.
I didn't really have time for PUBG at that point, because the shooter I'm playing is me versus a lake full of made-up space fish.
sure. So. Yeah. I keep walking out in the living room, and he's like, "Shut up, I need to hear the fish." And I'm like, "All right, later, man."
That's a good qualifier to put on the space fish, because it differentiates them from the very real space fish that I might reasonably confuse what you're talking about with.
Okay, well, so, yeah, I mean, do you want me to call it a Yaguan, or do you want me to call it a space gupper? I mean, which, pick your poison, buddy.
I didn't say you can't call it a space gupper.
Okay. So, I caught my first space crab last night, and that was, like, a moment for me. I was very excited about that.
Great.
And then I realized what I was excited about, and I felt very dumb. But in the same way that, like, trashy rap music, like...
Yeah.
Exhorts me to go dumb, and I'm like, sure.
Sure, I'm into that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Didn't you catch a shark, too?
I did catch a shark.
Yeah.
That was fucking rad.
That and I was like, that sounds pretty
rip
cool.
Out, I'm going to rip out his shark teeth and make, like, a paper mache mask for my boy. That doesn't make any sense if you don't play Warframe, but that's okay.
It still doesn't if you do.
I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
Like, I know what you mean, but damn. All
right, so, so yeah, the Warframe update came out. It's fantastic.
It's pretty cool.
I can't stop playing it.
As someone who doesn't mainline Warframe into my veins, it's pretty cool.
It took me from almost completely burnt out on the game to, wow, I can't stop playing this game again, right? Which is fantastic.
It's
for them.
Effective
really,
on their part.
Really, really happy for DE. I can't wait to see all the things they make in the future. I'm actually excited for their other game, the Eternals now, the one that's like weird Jet Age space people from Venus.
It's Jet Age retro future sci-fi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm
so
really
there's
excited
a lot of bubble
to see.
Helmets and
yeah.
Rod and ring ray guns.
Is it Dark Synth?
No.
Okay.
No.
Is it Vaporwave?
No.
Is it Dark Wave? Yeah. You dumbass.
In Kentucky Route Zero, there's a fake music genre that there's a band that's a part of. They call it Whisper Wave.
Nice.
I like that one a lot.
And then
we play a really low volume.
Oh, I thought of something that upsets me very much.
Okay. We can jump back. That's fine. I only have one more game to talk about.
There's a bug. There's a fucked up. There's a
space lobster.
I consider it a feature, but many would not. There's a thing in PUBG where when you're waiting for a match to start and you're on the runway, if you throw a Molotov cocktail on yourself or someone else right before you get loaded into the plane, these jets of fire shoot out the back of the plane.
Because the way the game puts the fire up on people is it constantly spawns a texture.
Yeah.
But when you're moving really fast, it's a trail.
Yeah. And so it's fantastic.
Chemtrails.
Yeah. So it's
literally.
It's fantastic because you get this plane with jets of flames coming out the back flying over.
Which
the
is, I mean, that's how you make the plane go faster. So.
Yeah. They patched it out.
Yeah, what? It doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. And now, when they put you in the plane, they put you out and you're not on fire.
Which, I mean, like, that may be the reason we stopped playing PUBG, is because all the jank gets out of it.
I mean, that would be like Dwarf Fortress patching out Scorpion's mad archery target list.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that would be on that level. It's like this procedural thing that the game had that made it different, and that you should run in that direction, not run away from it.
Ooh.
Holy shit. So a Lego just exploded. That's what that sound was.
It would be like if Battlefield developers were like, you put C4 on Jeeps and ran that tank and exploded it, we don't want that to happen again.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's this weird emergent game.
Like, fuck you, dude. That was emergent and awesome.
No, this is awesome. Yeah. Like, luckily they didn't do that.
I mean, yeah,
they
whatever.
From a
developer standpoint, I can see why they do it. But from a fun standpoint, I'm mad.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm on your side
exactly.
on this one.
I'm unhappy about it. Anyway, what was your last game, Matt?
I was going to talk about Moon Hunters, which I forget why I got back into, because I played a bunch of Moon Hunters a while ago. Like,
I think you just kind of plowed that game by yourself.
Yeah,
like,
I just kind of played a four-player game by myself a bunch. But I recently, a friend of mine, who's not related to this podcast at all, she started playing Moon Hunters with me a bunch. So I've been playing a bunch of Moon Hunters, and we did cool shit. Like, she seduced the last boss. So instead of fighting the last boss, she just married him.
Oh, I've never even dated a boss.
Yeah. And then
squad goals.
Yeah. And then, my last character was so arrogant that the Queen of Heaven came down, grabbed me, brought me to heaven, and used me as a throne so I'd stop, like, being an asshole to everybody.
Damn.
Also, I was, like, majestic enough that it was, like, cool that I was a throne. Right? So, anyway, Moon Hunters is rad, and you should definitely play it. Kid Fox Games, every single one that I've played has been fun, so, yeah. Moon Hunters is really fun. I don't really know what else to say about it. It plays like Zelda, but, like, with more of an exploration vibe, because everything's...
And it's got kind of, like, because it can be four players, it's got kind of a beat-em-up vibe as a result.
Yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
Isn't... Alright.
What?
Nothing.
Okay. Moving on. So, it's at this point that I should remind everybody, I did this, it should be at the beginning of this thing anyway, but,
Spoilers.
We're gonna ruin some shit that we talk about. If I could find
that. We're going to ruin all the plot points of Dungeon of the
Dungeon
Endless.
Of the Endless, yeah. Well, I mean, there are some plot points in Dungeon of the Endless.
Is the shame now or later?
What's the shame?
The
part where we shame
the
you?
The thing where we're mad, and also, are you ashamed of anything?
That's at the beginning of the entire
podcast.
Well,
I missed it.
Okay.
And we should talk about that.
What are you ashamed of?
So, I got my LOL account banned.
Again, or?
No, like, forever. So,
nice.
I have learned a powerful lesson in
No, you haven't!
No, but I actually have since then.
Explain that we will decide if you have learned.
I have barely been talking to people, and the few times I have, but I've been playing with friends, so, hey dude, don't talk to that guy. And then I'm like, nice thing.
Okay.
And that's it.
Can I just point out?
Yeah.
That what is the piece of advice I give you?
Yeah, I know.
Every single LOL game you've played since we started living together.
I know.
Don't fucking talk to these people.
You're right.
I will believe this after I've played a game of HOTS with you.
Man. Jesus. I'm also... So,
you got your fucking...
It was a really bad move. I've made
So what... Tell me what precipitated, what specific event catalyzed...
I don't remember.
Okay.
Right? It was like, I was playing a lot of games, people were talking shit, I'm talking shit back. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Right.
Does this mean you're done playing LOL?
No, he made a new account.
How big is the loss, the financial loss on that LOL?
I didn't look. I don't want to.
Okay.
Probably in the hundreds.
It's significant.
Okay.
In a way that, like, slapped me a certain way, and then as well, it's like, when my account got banned, they're like, you're as bad as 0.06% of LOL players, and I was like, that's fucking awful. I don't want to be that guy. And it also has helped me, like, not take games so seriously.
All right.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, like, it sucks, right? Like, I'm a little mad at myself about it, but I gotta eat that. And I've learned to sort of back away from it and enjoy it a little bit better. So,
okay,
I gained while losing.
Do you remember what you said about WrestleMania?
WrestleMania.
You were like, I stopped being angry at WrestleMania, and it was really fun.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that. Weird. Where, like, and like, I've focused a lot more on my own play, especially being a low-level account and playing with a bunch of people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm going to be over here doing me, and if that lines up with you guys, cool. And if, like, I'll be like, hey, we should group, and that's all I say to people.
Yeah.
Right? And if that doesn't happen, I'm like...
You say we should group when you think you should group.
Right. And, yeah. And like, so it's like baseline communications and pings. And otherwise, I'm just like, I'm going to do the best I can in this situation. And it's
a team game, so you might lose.
Yeah.
Even though you made
when I lose, I look at the scoreline and I go, I did my job.
JL Pipes has a good quote about that.
Yeah, what is his quote about losing? What is it?
You can make all the right moves and still lose.
Yeah, dude.
What did you call him?
JL Pipes.
Yeah.
Are we just going to leave that one? Or are we just going to let that one go?
Hell yeah, my dude.
Right,
we're going to talk about Dungeon the Endless now.
But yeah,
now
so
that we're
like,
done stealing jokes
learning
from other podcasts.
Growth through my own landmine behavior. Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Claymore Mine. Defusing himself.
Self-defusing
after firing himself.
after the Claymore detonated, it took the time to think about the choices it had made. And vowed to do better in the future.
Oh, shit. Maybe
vowed to not pick up its ball bearings.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have shot all those ball bearings at whatever FPS. Maybe I shouldn't have turned everything into hamburger.
Yeah, but it's also weird because, like, it comes at a time where, like, I'm doing a lot of that in therapy anyway.
Yeah, you're
doing...
So, like,
kind of lines
you're
up.
You're doing the therapy.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I had to sit myself down and be like, I have to accept this because I can't do anything about it.
Okay. Holy shit, really?
Yep. Yeah.
They grow up so fast.
It's like I'm trying to be an adult or some shit.
Fuck.
It's weird.
Well, this is a bad playstyle first.
Yep.
I don't know what it is.
Alright, so...
But it's the first time it happened. Oh, and talk about Dungeon the Endless.
Put one mark on your Keenan getting banned from LOL scorecard at home.
Is that a chicken hat point?
Ooh. Ooh,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
like
okay.
I don't get a say in it, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's a chicken hat.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
I'll take the L.
If you tried to fight it, we'd probably have to bring in other people to arbitrate.
I'm holding a larger L as a result of losing my account, so that one's cool. Like,
bring Steven into
this L is much bigger. Anyway, oh, and talk about Dungeon the Endless. I want to hear about your experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Dungeon the Endless. It's a game where you're a bunch of space weirdos.
Because I want to preface this. This is a game that I played a while ago. Like, this isn't like Beat Cop where I just picked it based on the... I'm talking about me.
Okay.
Just
trying to be in a conversation. Like we're doing.
Okay. No, I'm just giving you shit. So it was a game I played, and I was like, wow, you know who would really like this? Owen. And then I suggested it to you, and you were like, yeah, I'll check it out. And then you never checked it out.
I
played it once at your house.
Yeah, okay. I think okay, so you like demoed it for a minute.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, podcast, I should make Owen
I mean,
play that game.
That's what it's for.
That's what it's for. I mean, like, I'm making myself sound sinister here, but, like, I just wanted you to play a game that I knew you'd like. And, and anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so you're a bunch of space weirdos.
Yeah.
And your big space weirdo ship is crashing, and you get in an escape pod, and you crash down on a planet, and you...
Well, it's not a space weirdo ship, it's a prison ship.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Like, and your ship plunges through... this many floored something. I'm not actually sure where we are in the game.
You're on the planet that Endless Legend takes place on.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, you just plow through a bunch of floors of this dungeon, you get out of your ship, and you have to drag the big, like, MacGuffin box from your ship all the way up to the surface.
Is it the power source?
It's the power source.
It's the power source of the ship, Which you're going to drag to the surface and then make a beacon to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a top-down, like, kind of roguelike-y game.
It's kind of a, like, reverse roguelike.
It's like...
That's not a good term.
Randomized
it's
dungeon.
It's Dark Wave.
Yeah. It's Whisper Wave.
It's Whisper Synth.
I don't know, it's got, like, randomized levels and random heroes and equipment and,
You pick two, but you can run into more.
Or you can play at random.
It's got RTS elements at the same time. Yeah. And then the game, my favorite fucking thing about this game is that the pace is completely dictated by you, the player.
Yeah.
Right? That's my favorite fucking thing.
It has tower defense elements, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this game, nothing else quite like it exists.
Yeah, so, like, you explore... the floor of a level, you open the door to the room, and that's like passing a turn basically.
Mm-hmm.
And like your resources tick up. You have three different resources that accumulate
four
because
dust
is resource. Right, yeah,
but dust doesn't tick up unless you do some really cool stuff,
so, yeah,
yeah,
or find it.
And you have the option of powering up the rooms, and you use dust to power the rooms. You can build structures in the rooms like a food factory or a science factory. Science is a resource that ticks up, and
yeah. Then or an industry factory.
Yeah, or an industry factory that makes industries. and then there's, like, minor slots for placing, like, what essentially amount to, like, turrets and, like, little...
Or other utilitarian things.
Yeah.
But for dealing with the monsters.
For reference, dust is a long-running thing in all Amplitude Studios games.
Yeah.
It's the, like, thing that ties
through
all
it's
their
the
games.
Magic stuff, yeah.
Well, it's nanites, but yeah.
Well, whatever. Yeah. I'm just saying.
This game doesn't explain it at all. The other games do.
Yeah. Yeah, when I played Endless Legend, I played as that faction that just is dust.
Yeah. Your armored
guys
suit's
cool.
Full of nanites.
Yeah.
Fucking rad.
Yeah, those guys are cool. I don't know, what else is there to say about the rundown of this game?
Well, I mean, that's the rundown.
We should talk about, like, the play loop, right? So the way you start at, like, level one, I guess.
Yeah, you start at floor one.
Right.
Right.
And then your goal is to get to the surface. Does the difficulty change how many floors there are?
Yeah, it gets tougher. There's more enemies and
okay.
shit.
Okay. So...
But it's more about how many doors you've opened on that floor.
Okay.
Than it is about... Because, like...
Right.
How many floors up you are will change, like the spawn tables, but the spawn intensity is how many doors you've opened on that level.
Right, how many unpowered rooms you have.
No, just how many doors you've opened.
I did not finish the game this time.
How many rooms you have unpowered is where the monsters spawn from, so you can control that based on what rooms you have unpowered.
Right, so you're excavating this structure that you've crashed into.
Trying to find the exit.
The exit elevator to the next floor. And then once you find that, you have to take your crystal and drag it, literally, because it slows most of your characters down.
Yeah.
You have to drag it through the level to the elevator without dying,
mm-hmm.
and then get all your people out in the
You don't have to get all your people.
That's true.
Crystal has to make it. I've lost so many people in the elevator. Holy shit.
So then it becomes... The way the game has, like, sort of strategy elements is you can power up rooms and power them down and place defense resources, that kind of thing, in a way where... You can basically create a path to do so, or create a funnel for the enemies.
You can fashion a strategy.
Yeah, you can do a lot of interesting things with a few simple systems in this game, which I like.
And then as the heroes level up, as you feed them more food, they get access to more passive abilities and more active abilities.
And also, like, their hit points and damage. That kind of stuff.
The stats go up. And you can find items, and there's a pug who has a merchant with him that you can buy things from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
You run into science labs on the various floors.
So it's a dungeon crawler, resource. So when you kick open the door, it's like a random thing in there, you know?
Yeah, they're sort of like the shrines in Diablo 1.
Yeah. Yeah, they're sort of built the same way.
They're like, do you turn it on and spend 20 resources? Maybe you will get treasure. Maybe you will die.
Yeah.
You know, like,
never had anyone die at those, but...
Yeah, yeah, they always say that.
Yeah.
It always says you might die. I did have one have make monsters jump out.
Okay.
So maybe that's what they mean by death.
Maybe that's what they mean by death. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I did not die, but.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to talk about. I just want to. Oh, Keenan.
Yeah.
Talk about your playthrough this time.
My playthrough.
Yeah.
So last time we played the game, Owen and I. Or no, you're Owen. You're Matt.
Yeah.
Matt and I. I needed that refresher.
Okay.
Matt and I have played this game a bunch for, like, a week and a half or so in our house. Like, I come out and I see him playing. I'm like, this is cool. And I'm watching him for a bit. And then I'm like, I'm going to buy this. This is neat. I want to go play it. So we did that thing we do in our house where one person plays a game and the other one plays it. And then we just are in it.
Sure.
And I played it on... So there's two difficulties in the game. There's too easy and there's easy.
I want to talk more about that later.
Yeah. So I played the game before on too easy to, like, learn the game. And then this time around, I was like, I'm going to play it on the hard difficulty because, like, I kind of know what I'm doing. Hard difficulty is really hard. Like, punishingly so. So I never had a successful run this time around. And I had, like, 12 runs that I tried. Like, jeez. Yeah, and I don't think I ever got past 4 or 5 because it's very punishing at the higher difficulty. So, I got to see a lot of characters, which was neat.
Yeah.
Especially since there's a bunch that were added.
Well, you were playing before. On random, I take it?
I started to, and then I thought that was why I was failing. So, I started picking people specifically, and that still didn't help.
You definitely, like, unless you're trying to random the pug... As a character,
yeah.
You should definitely be picking your first two party members.
Oh, does random give you, like, people that aren't available on
there's
the
only one.
Select screen?
Like, okay. You can get the pug merchant,
but it's
and
also,
he's incredibly powerful, but has, like, zero defense.
Like, a lot of my random games where I got two support characters.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
And so, like, oh, combat sucks. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And early on in the game, you have to sort of rely on your combat characters because you don't have the resources
so,
to
So, yeah, there's two general types of... There's three things that differentiate characters, right? There's characters that do tons of damage. I guess I should say three. There's characters that do tons of damage. There's characters that can take tons of damage. There's characters that can repair modules, which are the food factories, the like cattle prods you leave on the floor, the guns that you leave on.
And resource generators.
And then there's people who are operators. And operators add their intelligence score to the amount of resources that a factory is making every turn.
As long as they're near it.
As long as they're in the room, yeah. And you characters can have combinations of all these things, right?
Yeah, this led me to just not use operators.
Why?
Because I didn't like being down, like, a person. Like,
oh.
I didn't want them digging off in a room when I opened the next door.
So... I guess, you know, that's we can talk about that.
Yeah.
I always used operators because of the enormous resource boosts it gives you. And I would just have them basically, I would separate the dungeon into two halves. The mostly lit path, which would be, have, like, most of my guys in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the unlit path, which would have a single hard point that led to the crystal that was just full of fucking lasers.
Sure.
And then... You know, one guy being like tick tick tappa on a computer. You know, that was my general strategy.
So you just have the one dude behind like 9 turrets.
Yeah,
just like, oh, guys, the monsters are breaking through.
Yeah, and so when they finish with the small amount of monsters on their side, they run over and reinforce.
Okay.
Right,
that's cool.
So that's what I would do.
All
right. That was the way I played the game.
Yeah, the way your characters fall definitely dictates your early play style, and then you sort of fall into
and
a
then
rhythm
how
with
quickly
that.
You can get them those key abilities like operator.
Yeah.
Really dictates how you're going to do it.
Yeah. So, when you're rolling two support guys who are both really interested in healing the party and doing no damage,
yeah,
that's a rough life.
That's not a good
So, I ended up picking some characters I remembered along with, like, I was basically running, like, one I knew and one I didn't.
So, who's your favorite character, Keenan?
My favorite character is the weird punk rock masochist guy.
Okay.
Because, one, I like the way he's written.
Yeah.
He's, like, not try hard enough for me to not like him.
I feel like there's like a bell curve on tryhard characters where, like, if you're not that tryhard, it's cool. Then you get up to the tryhard, like, up here.
Yeah,
so it was like a reverse on Kenny Valley.
It's really bad, and then it becomes, like, quaint and charming.
Right, there's a point where you're over the top with it enough that I'm like, this is dumb pro wrestling shit,
like,
and
so,
I'm into
so
it.
So we got,
like,
at the peak here, we got, like, Driz Durden.
Yeah.
And then, like, past the edge.
He's like Scott Steiner.
Yeah. Okay,
no
I get
him.
This. But he's charming.
And ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but that's the whole thing. People
yeah.
watch. Anyway, my favorite character is Chef Nanor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
love Chef
Nanor.
Is that the bad guy in the flying chair?
No,
he's the
blue
guy.
He's the dude with the gas mask and the enormous knives.
Okay.
He makes food for everybody. You might not have.
Right? Yeah.
Doesn't he make food out of the stuff you kill?
Yeah.
He
also does that. I love Soylent Green. It's an excellent ability. 0.4 food for every monster you kill.
It's not
fucking
bad.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And
he does good damage.
Yeah.
And he's not brittle.
He has tons of health. He does good damage. But most importantly, he ups the damage of everyone
fighting
with him.
Yeah.
Right. So
good guy to have around.
I think the character I use that, like, got the most work out of me.
Yeah. Well, who's your favorite?
My favorite?
Yeah. Because it doesn't. I'm not talking about effectiveness. I'm just talking about.
I don't know. It's probably one and the same though for me.
Okay.
This is Team Fortress 2 heavy.
Okay.
There's like Valve plug-in stuff. Yeah. So the engineer, the medic,
the pyro and the pyro. Heavy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so I took the heavy and the pyro on my first run through the game, and I also took the heavy on my second run through the game.
Wait, that's not something.
Yeah, yeah. He's really good.
I ran into him, and I didn't have enough money for him, and he got eaten.
Oh.
Which was a bummer.
He works exactly like you would expect him to if you played Team Fortress 2. You know, he walks around slow as shit.
And murders.
Yeah,
things.
And does stupid high damage, and I think does it to multiple people at once.
Is one of his abilities to eat a sandwich?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And that's
nice. As it should.
It's not just he eats a sandwich, everyone eats sandwiches.
Nice!
Like you hit the button and everyone gets healed. And,
sandwich party.
Yeah, yeah, and there's like a little sandwich that appears.
The thing with him is he doesn't do damage in the area, but he has the fastest attack speed in the game.
Oh, okay.
Or one of the fastest attacks.
So he just, like, has really high single target.
He does,
right,
yeah, so it's not single target, it's just, like, he's fucking attacking everything.
Oh!
Right?
I thought you said he didn't do AoE, so I was confused.
No, but he's not attacking everything at once.
Okay.
He's doing individual attacks really, really fast.
Got it.
Right?
So, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it works. Interesting. And then the pyro does a medium amount of damage in an enormous AoE.
Yeah.
So he's really good at clearing crowds, but he's terrible at dealing with big monsters.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, Iron
and he puts
eaten
a dot on people.
Yeah,
the pyro does. That's really good.
He didn't survive
so
too long.
If they get past
him,
his part of the defense network that you've set up, then they burn him to death.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. That's yeah. Where, I mean, that's the idea.
That's where I ran into trouble. Like watching you guys play versus playing on the harder difficulty. Like I feel like maybe the resource ticks are turned down.
Maybe.
I also feel like there's more enemies, but that shouldn't be that big a deal if I'm playing it right in my mind, remembering
sure
how the game works. So I constantly found myself, like, I'm on 4-3, and I have, like, 2 of each resource, because I just did some upgrades,
yeah,
and, like, I'm only getting them at, like, 6 a turn, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm gonna try to open this
I think
door.
One of the things that they want to encourage you to do on the tougher difficulties, which is something that I started doing, is you push yourself for as far as you can on whatever floor you've already beaten,
mm-hmm,
you try and go that little bit further to hoard resources for the beginning of the next
yeah
floor,
which I started doing,
right?
And that got me further.
And that's why I really liked Zugma, okay, who's the lady with the forklift.
Yeah.
Because Zugma gets an ability at level 9 where she takes 20% of your dust with you to the next floor.
Oh, that's really nice.
And it's so
that's dope.
Fucking good. It's maximum 20, but it's still, like, that's...
Still, but walking in with 20 plus whatever you find...
Yeah, plus whatever you find in the first room...
Like, you can power, like, 4 rooms
you can,
early.
You can get a nice early game
right
going and get your momentum going before the monsters really start coming in.
That's pretty good.
Right? So it's nice. It's nice as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like Zugma a lot.
I really like Spider Lady, too.
Spider
She's
Lady's cool.
What's Spider Lady's deal?
She has the highest attack score in the game, so
okay,
she does shitloads of damage.
Okay.
Also, she's really sneaky,
mm-hmm,
and she's not slowed down by monsters.
Okay.
Her and Maskus guy get along.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
They're
cool
buddies because they understand each other.
That's one thing we should talk about is that certain characters, if they end up in the elevator together, will have secret interactions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Lady whatever was talking to one of my people, but I can't remember.
The Dust Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
When you have these interactions, you'll unlock parts of the scrapbook, and the scrapbook will have, like, character art and, like, backstory
stuff.
Yeah,
I dicked around with that a little bit.
Yeah, the scrapbook's really cool. I like it.
Yeah.
I like that there's this, like, instead of having, like, most roguelike games where you restart and you get, like, the, whatever their version of, like, angel investors are from Adventure Capitalists.
Yeah.
In this, your incentive to play the game again is learning more about these characters.
Yeah, to unlock all the scrapbook.
Yeah, yeah. The coolest fucking thing ever happened to me once, which was that 4 people got in an elevator, and they all dropped their assumed identities and started asking each other why the heist went bad. And I was like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit.
Because you, like, happened to have four criminals or something like that?
No, it wasn't even four. It was Josh and the, I think, the Maskus guy and two other people. I don't remember. But they were like, what the fuck happened in there? Why did the job go bad? And it's like, we've been betrayed. We needed to find this person and kill them. And I'm like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit.
Oh, man, I'm in on it.
I feel like I probably missed out by using the Team Fortress 2 characters so much.
Yeah, I mean, the Team Fortress 2 guys are cool. But it's like
the thing that's cool about the way this game does exposition is that moment. Yeah. Right, where you run into that.
I bet if you get all 14 Fortress characters, probably
there's an achievement for finishing the game with them, I think.
Yeah. So. Well, but I bet like they have things they say.
Oh, probably like cool things.
Yeah, because a lot of the storylines are tied between multiple characters, the way he's talking about. Like, one of them is if you have the bounty hunter lady, who's basically Samus.
Yeah. Zero Suit Samus.
Yeah, and then if you have Gork?
Gork, yes. Yeah.
Who's basically like...
Gork who eats people.
Yeah, he eats people, and he's like an Arnold Schwarzenegger alien with a big gun.
Yeah.
He's
not an alien, he's a prisoner.
Okay, yeah. Whatever.
Well, that was the other thing I wanted to say, is there's different factions.
Yeah.
Because there's the prisoners, and the prisoners get extra attack bonuses if they're in the room with other prisoners.
Yeah.
There's the guards who get extra defense bonuses if they're in the room with other guards, because they have the Got Your Back perk.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the natives, and the natives level up faster than anyone else.
Yeah. So all the, like, all the, like...
So, like, that's why Skroig is so good, is because you have to feed him less food to get up to a higher level. And that's why he feels more powerful. Right?
So,
and also he generates food, because...
Yeah.
And the ways the characters interact are often interesting. Like, if you have Gork and the Bounty Hunter together, and they go more than three floors together, she just fucking kills him.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, really well-known criminal and
shit. No. He murdered and ate her family.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
She kills him.
Yeah, which, like, hopefully 3-4s later, you got enough dudes.
Hopefully you have enough food to hire a replacement.
Yeah. So, yeah, that happened to me when I only had those two.
Yep.
So that was like, okay, end of playthrough, you're dead. Yeah. Thanks for doing that to yourself. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Hey, man, need for revenge.
Yeah. But anyway, I really like all the characters. They really make me
they're
emotionally
very...
invested in them with the minimal amount that they do. Amplitude is so good at that, like, storytelling that way, you know.
Yeah, I really like that they write a lot of story, but they don't necessarily need to visualize or
present it to you really fast, you know.
Yeah, it's good.
Plan the reveals.
Yep, so less is more.
Yeah.
And, like, the gameplay itself sort of creates stories for you anyways, in the same way, like, XCOM does, like, oh man, he barely made it in!
Yeah,
you know, like, that
kind
of thing is, like...
Really? I never felt like my games were tense or on the line quite enough.
Not, like, on an XCOM level, for sure.
Well, I guess I can't think of any... I can't think of a single, like, super memorable moment of, like, the gameplay for me.
Okay.
I also played on too easy, so, like...
That might be why.
That might be it, but... Yeah.
I can definitely think of a couple memorable
moments. I've had a few, but, like, I've got a lot of reps into this game.
Like, the only one I can think of is when the Pyro died, because I was reading something. And, like, a bunch of monsters just killed him. And I was like, well, sorry, dude.
To be fair, that's the way the Pyro should go out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Surrounded by his enemies who are also on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm incredibly pleased with how this game went down for us. I'm incredibly pleased that you enjoy it as a chill-out game.
Yeah, it gets me to talk about that angle of it. It's a really good, like, podcast game, or, like, put on some videos on my other monitor kind of game.
Yeah.
And just, like...
Cool, because you can play it at your own pace, right?
Yeah.
So, super nice.
Yeah, well, like, so you don't even have to, like, micromanage the characters, like, when they're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You just send them into a room, and that is the most instruction you can give them.
You can't even tell them where in the room to go.
Yeah, you can't tell them who to fight or what, like, you just tell them what rooms to be in.
My favorite new character is there's this lady... who is possessed by a demon.
Okay.
And all of her abilities and stats are at a malice if she's in the room with somebody else. But if she's alone, she gets enormous stat buffs.
Oh, yeah.
Is this the spider lady?
No, that's not the spider lady.
She gets there's a bonus for being alone, too.
There's a couple people that work that way.
No, but hers are, like, way more intense than those, right? And she also, one of her active abilities is to do damage to everything in the room, including your stuff.
Yeah.
And any...
Yeah, I think I had her bodies. At one point. All of what you're saying sounds familiar.
Yeah, but I've really been enjoying her as a solo door kicker.
Okay.
To enhance my...
That phrase frightens me in this game.
Solo door kicker with a double operator strategy, with her has been super fun. That's my latest playthrough.
I can see that being cool.
And then I have a flex support character, Chef Nanor, who's running between like whichever operator needs the most help.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like it's mostly a resource control game, but your resources are various things, right? You're building resource generators. You're commanding the people that are a resource as well.
My first playthrough this time around was the famous Disney sitcom Gork and Josh. Don't you roll your eyes at me, Gork and Josh? All right. Anybody have anything else to say? I mean, I want to talk about Amplitude a little bit, but I think we talked about pretty much everything else.
Yeah.
What about that award?
Well, that's later.
Okay. Yeah. All right. My bad. Jumping the gun.
So, yeah, Amplitude is a wonderful studio from France.
Yeah.
They use all the same resources in all their games. Every single one of their games uses industry, science, food, and dust.
Oh, sure. In completely different ways.
They're all set in the same universe.
Their universe is super wacky.
Yeah, yeah, it's super, like it. Super cool. And then, it's all post-apocalyptic, but also fantasy, but also science fiction.
Right, depending on the game you're playing, the universe takes on like a different flavor.
Yeah, I should boot up Endless Legend again. I liked that
game. It's one of the best 4X games I've ever played.
Yeah, like
Endless Space is an awesome space.
It
4X
feels game. Balanced in a way that like Civ never did.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of want to play it because like I've had an itch to play Civ recently, but I don't like Civ 5.
Yeah.
And I don't like the look of Civ 6.
you look at it over there and you go, I don't think I want
that. Yeah, yeah. And Endless Legend always kind of felt kind of like I was playing the sequel to Civ 4.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, there's something like less up its own ass, I guess. Like, I feel like Civ was like really mellow for a while and then it was like, we're going to do this real big. And I'm like, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that at all.
I just hated the Civics and Civ 5 so much. I thought that system was stupid.
Wasn't great.
All right.
But yeah, play more of those games.
Play more Amplitude games. They're really good.
Yeah. They just put out Endless Space 2, which looks like a better Endless Space 1, as sequels should be.
Which, I gotta say, Endless Space has one of my favorite things in all of video games in it, which is a 4X faction entirely made of clones of one guy.
God damn it.
It's so fucking cool.
Does that mean that your resource climb is always the same?
No, it's literally just all your citizens are clones of this one guy.
D4359.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're all just numbers, because you know, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't need to
We all know
anything.
Who we are!
Well, your name becomes meaningless at that
point.
Yeah.
Like, in a society of clones.
It's like saying Mister, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to, like, say that.
Didn't they do that in the Star Wars Expanded Universe? There's like a species called like Borsk or Dorsk or something like that. And it's like Dorsk number. And that's your name. And they're all clones.
I believe you.
Probably. I
bet it doesn't exist anymore.
Well, no, it's relegated to legends. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Okay.
All right. We in the denouement. So we're not going to talk about wrestling this week.
Nope.
Because
Kenan, no wrestling happened. In the whole world.
Kenan has been playing wrestling. Then an alphanumeric string ending with 18 with our friend Max Zaliski.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like the wrestling that I did this week was I went and played the new wrestling game with my friend on a stream.
No, the dumbest wrestling moment this week is that Kenan played a very bad wrestling game.
Yeah. I don't know. It's okay.
It was fine. I watched
the experience I had with it was fun, but now I'm hearing about a lot of the bugs from him as he plays it by himself.
Okay. We don't have anything to say about VR yet.
Yeah.
There's a thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about picking up a game called Luna.
Okay.
It's by a game company called Phenomena. That's Phenomena spelled with like a fun in it.
I want to briefly mention, I don't like the fact that Gorn's multiplayer is behind an hour of content.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's annoying. Video game that you wish was different? Do you have anything to say for that? I thought maybe you...
I haven't gone back to Rainbow Six Siege because of its player base, and I really wish there was a way to report people for being shitty in that game.
Oh yeah, you ran into some like weird racists in that
There's
game.
A lot of racists weird in racist, that game.
Yeah, they're just like racist.
But like not in like the regular internet game racism way, but in the like I actually believe this when I'm questioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad. I don't want to be near those people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which sucks because I like that game.
It's time for the Not Real Game Awards.
Yeah.
We
should invite Hideo Kojima.
No, Hideo Kojima. Hideo Kojima, our host of the Not Real Game Awards. This week, award goes to the game we played, which was Dungeon of the Endless. And its award is the Narturo Award of I Told You This Was Good 6 months ago. Because I told you this was good 6 months ago.
It's a rare award. Not a lot of people can have one of those hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Narturo just keeps on trying, though, you know? So, Chicken Hat, I don't know the exact number, but it is a large number above 4 for Owen.
Yeah.
And then...
I gained one this week.
Keenan has, I think, three?
Well,
I think two.
Two?
Because I think the last time we talked about it and I actually tallied it up, it was like 3-1-1.
Okay. I have one? What do I have one from?
I don't remember. That sounds right, though.
Okay.
And that was definitely a couple episodes, too.
I will believe you.
I mean, like, I'm going to go through all of them. I can tally it up.
Sure. Yeah. That's fine. What are we playing next week, Keenan? Sorry. I wanted to say a thing. So, by congressional veto within the checks and balances system of Bad Play Style,
yeah.
Congress being Owen.
Dibs on judicial.
Yeah, well, definitely. Duh. You were not allowed to suggest Hotline Miami likes.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of this season.
We were talking in our chat, and Owen was like, can we not do that? And I was like, I did do a couple of those, didn't I? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So. And then Steam keeps feeding me Hotline Miami likes, because like, yo, bro, we noticed you played a few of those. And I'm no, give me all this stuff.
Do you want to play Jidge? It's like, yeah, I kind of want to play Jidge.
I kind of want to play that.
Yeah.
And like, if Hatred wasn't so shitty, I might play that. But no, I don't want those right now.
So anyway, what are we playing?
So I dove back into Domina and figured out that it was being a jerk after I uploaded my drivers and only playing through my headset. So we're playing Domina, because I have to have my headset plugged in for it to play right, because it's music dependent, to start matches. So when it wasn't doing any sound, it wasn't playing, and now it is.
So we're playing Domina.
So we're playing Domina. We're making gladiator fights. It's dope.
Sounds great.
I played a bunch of it, and it was fun.
Cool. Where can they find us?
If you want to talk to the other listener of this podcast, you can go to reddit.com/r/
badplaystyle. It's season 2. We should have 3 listeners by now, right?
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see. Who knows? Maybe nobody will use the subreddit and we'll just stop using it.
Anyway, so what is the subreddit? I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Oh, and if you want to... give us game codes or feedback or your thoughts on the game that we played this week, last week, or at any time.
Or have a question.
Yeah.
We can answer questions.
You want to say anything to us.
Yeah.
That you don't want to say on the Reddit.
you can send us a message at badplaystyle@gmail.com.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I finally found the password to that email account. It was written down at my desk because I knew I would forget.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, well, so we're super professional and we'll see you guys next week. Bye, Bad Play Style.
Is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.